Good afternoon and welcome to BFF Banking Group First Half 2025 Earnings Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on a touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Please note, this event is being recorded. I would like to turn the conference over to Massimiliano Belingheri, Group CEO, and Giuseppe Sica, Group CFO. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today for the reporting of our first half results. Let me, first of all, say that we don't have any direct updates on our discussion with Bank of Italy, and we'll clearly give an update as soon as we have disclosable information. So let's focus first on our financial and commercial performance. In the first half of the year, we continue improving our financial and commercial performance on the trajectory we set already in Q1. The adjusted net profit stands at 75 million, up 6% year-on-year. Equally importantly, the second quarter profit is also up 6% sequentially and 37% year-on-year, a good trajectory for the business. Factoring lending has continued also on its positive path. Its PBT, the PBT of the division, is up 21% year-on-year, and the loan book and the volumes are the highest first half ever for the group and are just marginally shy from the record balance sheet of year-end. Not only reported profitability is up, but importantly, also the future one continues to build up. In fact, our off-balance sheet reserves have grown 93 million year-on-year, faster than our loan book growth. We continue to deliver on growth while keeping a substantial liquidity. Our loan-to-deposit ratio stands at 77%, and the highly stable transaction services deposits are also growing 31% year-on-year. The rate-to-spread environment continues to support the mark-to-market of our held-to-collect portfolio. Now, the positive mark-to-market is close to 50 million, an improvement of over 100 million year-on-year, and this will also support our future profitability. Moving to capital, our CET1 ratio stands today at 14.3%, which is well above the level that we registered pre-credit reclassification at the time the capital was 13.5%. We've generated over 200 basis points of capital in the first half of this year alone. We have 114 million of excess capital versus the 12% CET1 target, 75 million of which are related to our first half adjusted net income. Furthermore, if you look at our SREP level, we have 226 million of excess capital, so a substantial buffer also towards that. As we have repeated in the past, our dividend policy remains unchanged, and clearly we are waiting the removal of the bans of Bank of Italy, as we mentioned before. Looking at past due, we're pleased on our progress on the past due to date. Our past due is chiefly towards governments and public sectors, down 10% in the last 6 months. If we consider only the portfolio we had at year-end, that has seen a reduction of 40%, and that gives a sense of how much we're actually reducing the portfolio. The growth of the portfolio of the past due has been driven instead by further purchases of debtors already in past due and a marginal increase in the past due portfolio. Also, what we call the contagion invoices, progress continues. We are down close to 30% in a year. We continue to take action to reduce that portfolio. A few points outside of our numbers. First of all, we have renewed our ICT contract with Nexi, which, as you know, underpins part of our transaction services activities that has been renewed until 2032, and it has given us some strategic flexibility in some intellectual property ownership on the infrastructure. Second, and importantly, we have obtained further European Court of Human Rights rulings on municipalities in conservatorship, which proves again that the state needs to pay those public exposures. In the meantime, we have filed appeals to the European Court of Human Rights for additional 40 million of capital on municipalities in conservatorship. That's roughly 40% of our NPL portfolio, and another 25 million on past due exposures. Third, following the receipt of all the regulatory authorization and the support of our partners, we have launched our deposit gathering platform in Greece. This is another step in our funding diversification, and we'll launch a marketing campaign in the last part of the year to increase that activity. And finally, you might have seen the logo we have in the presentation. We celebrated on the 22nd of July our 40th birthday. That's an important step in our history, and a history which has seen so many successes, and we wish all of us and all our shareholders many successes to come. If we look at page 4 on the balance sheet, I would highlight a few things. First of all, the loan book that stands at 5.9 million, and as I said before, is up 5% year on year. The loan book size is actually the main driver of our interest income, together with over recoveries of LPI. Our head to collect portfolio is down 7% year on year. We are managing down, particularly on the fixed rate side. The mark to market, as I mentioned, is now positive and is increased by 124 million year on year. That means that actual future profitability is better as the cost of carry becomes a positive carry over time on the fixed bond portfolio. And importantly, we continue to have a positive spread on our variable rate portfolio. On the liability side, as mentioned before, transaction service deposits are up 31% year on year. Those are stable, are driven mostly by decision of our clients on their asset allocation, but importantly by the volumes of our activity with them. We have a strong growth, for instance, in our depository bank activities at 20% year-on-year growth. Given that liquidity, we've actually reduced our deposits, which are down 39% year-on-year, and the online deposits and repos, which are down 13% year-on-year. Leverage remains strong at 6.1%. Our loan-to-deposit ratio is at 67%, which is improvement in over last year, which confirms ample liquidity in the group. And we talked already about our CET1 ratio, and again, are very high capital ratios with 14.3% CET1 and plenty of buffer versus our 12% target and our SREP. If we move on the P&L on slide 5, our adjusted net income is at 75 million, up 6% year on year and 37% versus the second quarter of 2024. Giuseppe will speak in more details later about the drivers of our performance, but it's important to stress that the profit before tax of our factoring and lending division is actually up a double digit, plus 21% year on year, which underpins the future growth of the business. Also, security services is significantly up, 43% year on year. Payments is only slightly down, but it's ahead of budget, and we see plenty of opportunity to deliver further growth and profitability in that business. Having said that, I leave now the floor to Giuseppe to walk you through the details of the numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, Max. Let me give you some more details on our factoring and lending business on slide 6. The gross yield has been not only resilient, spread versus ECB rate has in fact improved, and let me remind you, ECB rate is the key driver of our cost of funding. So MRO rate is down 135 bps versus gross yield down 74 bps. Spread resilience explains, together with volumes I will talk about in a moment, the 21% increase in the PBT of the division. These schedulings are normalizing and improving quarter on quarter. 6.2 million in the second quarter versus 12.7 million in the first. Other income is mainly driven by continued collection of recovery fees. Looking not only at the past, but also at the future profitability, our off-balance sheet funds have increased 94 million in 12 months. Moving to the commercial performance of the business on slide 7, loan book stands at 5.9 billion, the first half for loans and the key driver of net interest margin. Our loan book in Italy continues to grow and is up 5% compared to last year. Spain, on the other hand, is down, reflecting lower volumes after Plan de Pago at the end of last year. France loan book continues to grow. Reflecting on commercial performance, volumes are up 10% year-on-year at 4.2 billion. Volumes in Italy are up 17% year-on-year and up 41% in Poland, albeit with a different business mix. Portugal, which was down 6% in the first quarter, is up 9% year-on-year. And finally, France, even before the future opening of a branch in the country, and only 12 months after launch of meaningful business, is already at the same level of Greece, which is itself growing. Let me move now to slide 8 on payments. Both revenues and number of transactions are up 1% year on year, proving the resilience of the business. The division provides circa 2.8 billion of deposits to BFF, which are also up 2% year on year. Continuing to invest in the business, we have extended ICT contract with Nexi to 2032. We have signed agreement with Nexi and Equens Worldline for domestic intermediation, whilst intellectual property ownership for critical IT applications remains with us. And we have become exclusive provider of domestic settlement card service for Equens Worldline. Next slide on security services. As Max said, the division has recorded very strong performance during the year. Assets under deposits are up 20% compared to 1 year ago. And very meaningfully for the business, they are back to pre-ARCA level as we continue to be provider of choice of several alternatives, specialized funds, and pension funds. Revenues are up, as a consequence, are up 13% versus 1 year ago. Liquidity provided by the division has now reached 4.4 billion, which is up 62% year on year, and is allowing an efficient management of our liquidity profile, for instance, as Max said, by reducing our online deposits. Slide 10 on group costs. We maintain our cost discipline while investing in growth. In fact, OPEX and D&A are up 4% year on year, with lower personal costs and higher G&A, mainly due to meaningful IT expenses. At the divisional level, security services, OPEX and D&A are up 6% year on year in relation to ICT systems upgrade, factoring and lending at 24.3 million, up 3% year on year. And for payments, OPEX and D&A are only slightly up year on year. As in the first quarter, any variable remuneration for the year would only be assigned after the removal of Bank of Italy bans. Now let us move to our balance sheet and its strong profile on slide 11. We are pleased with the composition of our balance sheet and continue to work on marginal improvements. The loan-to-deposit ratio remains very strong at 67%, showing ample liquidity, and is further reduced compared to 1 year ago when it was 69%. The NSFR is 143% compared to 134% 1 year ago, LCR is also up from 209% 1 year ago to 249%. In essence, we feel liquidity sources remain abundant and diversified, and we continue to diversify with the launch of our deposit platform in Greece. Moving to the asset side, our HTC portfolio continues to be managed down and is down almost 10% year on year. And importantly, its mark-to-market is positive and increased by 124 million year on year, which bodes well for future profitability. Slide 12 on asset quality, showing our low risk profile, is confirmed. Our cost of risk in the first half stands at 4.6 basis points, broadly in line with historical averages. Our NPE stock, affected by June 24 reclassification, is down 10% year on year. And I will expand on the underlying dynamics in a moment. Let me stress once again that NPE exposure is almost entirely towards public administration, 96%, which is by definition low risk. Looking at the details of our NPLs, also these are largely towards public administration and in particular towards municipalities. We are pleased to have received the new ruling confirming Italian state liability on receivables due by three municipalities in conservatorship. And in the quarter, we have appealed to the European Court of Human Rights for circa 40 million receivables towards municipalities in conservatorship, which represent 40% of our NPL portfolio. 40 million, by the way, is only the capital, with significant upside from collection of LPIs. As mentioned, let me now give you some more detail on the evolution of our past due portfolio on slide 13. First, excluding net new exposure, which we have bought in the year, past due has gone down by 40% in 6 months. This is important as it shows that the high churn of our portfolio and our collections. Second, contagion invoices are down by another 41 million in the first half, and we expect more as new injunctions take effect. Third, new past due is mostly due to contagion effect, 419 million. New past due generation is limited to 96 million in the 6 months. As promised, a few more details on our legal activity supporting transactions or judicial collection. By the end of July 25, we have filed in Italy around 840 injunctions towards public debtors, and this represents around 82% of Italian past due exposure, and around 64% of the total past due exposure. We have appealed for 25 more million invoices in past due receivables to the European Court of Human Rights, in addition to the appeal on conservatorships. This should and will support further past due reduction. Last but not least, on capital, slide 14. CET1 ratio stands at 14.3% versus 11.9% in the first half of 2024. And in the first half of the year alone, we have generated 207 basis points of Common Equity Tier 1. This is supported both by past due and RWA density reduction and by the profitability of our business. We therefore have 114 million of excess capital versus 12% Common Equity Tier 1 target and 226 million versus SREP requirements. Total capital ratio stands at 17.4%, while MREL requirements are covered with ample buffer thanks to organic capital generation and the two bonds that we have issued last year. As said by Max, the dividend policy remains unchanged, subject to the lifting of the dividend ban by Bank of Italy. Let me now hand over back to Max for the key takeaways on our business in the first half of 2025.
Thank you, Giuseppe, for the deeper presentation. Look, if we leave for a second the details, what we are seeing today is a confirmed positive momentum for the group, with double-digit growth year-on-year on both factoring and lending and security services, and good strategic positioning of our payment business. We've reached the highest first-ever volumes and group loans for the factoring and lending business. Secondly, the reduction of past due is underway, with the total past due portfolio down 10% versus year-end 2024, despite us continuing to buy new receivable towards entities already in past due. We are accelerating legal action, so we should see an acceleration of the reduction of the overall stock and the contagion portfolio in the quarters to come. And finally, we are in a pretty strong position in terms of capital, because despite the still high level of past due, which is far away from where we should be in a normalized situation, our CET1 ratio is at 14.3%. We have 114 million of excess capital versus our CET1 target for dividends. And so we think we are in a strong position to continue to grow the business, generate further capital, and in due course, reward shareholders. Thank you for listening to our presentation. I will leave the floor to any questions you might have.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, may press star and one on your touch-tone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the key. To withdraw your question, please press star and two. The first question comes from Tommaso Nieddu from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hello, and thank you for taking my questions. I would have two for now. The first one is on full-year estimates. It seems that consensus is sitting between 175-180 million euro on adjusted net profit, so would be appreciated some colors on that, and do you feel comfortable with these numbers? And the second one is on the contagion portfolio collection. Clearly, the past due exposure is going down, but in the second quarter, your collection of contagion portfolio has been only 16 million euro. So should we consider it the new run rate? And now that the back book is getting smaller, is it more difficult to collect, or yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, on the contagion portfolio, look, there are faster quarter and slower quarter. It depends really on where we are with the discussion with the counterparties, where we are with legal action. So one, we cannot pinpoint to a specific number that we target. We target to reduce that portfolio, which actually will mean an acceleration also going forward. You should bear in mind that we are only a year, well, not even a year away from the reclassification, maybe just a few days later last year, and we started to change our approach on legal actions at the end of 2024. And as we said, we were expecting an acceleration in the second half of this year of the collection of the past due portfolio. In terms of full-year estimates, as you know, we don't give targets for 2025. You should remember that we always have a stronger fourth quarter, which accounts for more than a usual quarter, and we are trending towards levels that we think are consistent with our business plan target.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Simonetta Chiriotti of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi, good evening, everybody. My question is on volumes. The second quarter is really brilliant in terms of volumes in most geographies. So is it possible to have a bit more color? I've seen that the PA segment improved a lot in the second quarter. Spain was better than in Q1. Could you just elaborate a bit on this? Thank you.
On volume, look, we are working hard to improve our commercial performance on many fronts. As you know, we can also have a lumpiness in the decision of customers to sell their receivables. We are overall pleased with the performance of Poland. We think Italy, although it's showing decent growth in volumes, is still a lot of potential to be expressed. Spain, which is down year on year, so it's down year on year about 20%, still is impacted by the injection of cash we have seen by the government in Q1. In Q2 has been less relevant, clearly, because it's an effect that impacted mostly Q1. And those, I would say, are the main driver. We think Portugal has more to go as well. So it has grown year on year, but we see more potential. And interestingly, on the smaller markets, you can see France, as Giuseppe pointed out, that has shown very strong growth, clearly from a small base, but now in terms of portfolio, it's already at half the size of Slovakia. This space, it will reach the size of the smaller market pretty soon. So we see that as an opportunity, which is driven by the reconsideration people have on the financial conditions of the country, as well as potential risk on the political stability of the country itself. Slovakia, as well, is a tiny market. We need to see what happens in the following quarters, but the pipeline seems pretty good, we know that there's a market where the budget deficit is quite high, so they should help focusing the customer's attention on it.
If I may complete the question, we have in the first 6 months a 10% growth in volumes and a 5% growth in loans. Can you give us an indication of how the DSO is evolving in the largest market? Thank you.
Yeah, we're not seeing strong trends one way or the other. Remember, we buy what our customer gives us, and depending also on when we buy in the quarter, we have a different outstanding at the quarter end. So, for instance, in the second quarter, we did more purchases in proportionally than usual in April and May, and less in June. So that actually skews the two effects. And you have markets also where we buy portfolios which are not necessarily representative of the overall market. If I take France, for instance, we buy portfolios that we pay later than a normal DSO. So you can't really, we are not seeing an individual performance of counterparties a significant improvement or worsening of payment times. Basically, we're not making changes to our pricing mechanism to take into account either shortening or lengthening of payment time.
Thank you.
The next question is from Davide Giuliano of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for taking my question. I have three. The first one on NII. Overall interest rate environment was, let's say, good in first half as Euribor decreased while LPI rate was fixed at the beginning of January. Now that the LPI rate refixed in July and the ECB is expected to cut 25 bps by year end, which dynamics do you expect on NII in second half? half. The second one on the Casse di Previdenza, when do we expect the tenders to start, and what margin can we expect on these mandates for the Security Services division? And the third one on capital allocation, I know that dividend is the priority, but there has been some movement in the specialty finance segment, and also some things are going on. My question, I was wondering if the excess capital you have accumulating during the dividend ban, if do you see opportunities for organic growth initiatives. Thank you.
Organic or inorganic?
Inorganic.
Okay, sorry. Look, we look at M&A as stating our strategy all the time. And it depends on the opportunity, the right price, the right moment, the right target. So it's not really an issue. We have capital, so we buy. Capital is there, but it's actually our shareholders' capital. So it has an opportunity cost that we need to be mindful of. As we always stated, for us, I mean, it's an avenue mostly for diversification, and we continue to monitor the market in Italy and also abroad. In terms of the Cassa di Previdenza, the decree has been actually ready. We know that the Undersecretary of the MEF stated in June that we should expect the publication shortly. We think there's still a bit of a delay. For us, actually, it's a positive because it means that when it will be issued, hopefully we will get in a position where we don't have the restrictions imposed on us by Bank of Italy, and that would take away some concern the client might have on us as a trustee of their assets. So at the moment, a delay is actually for us positive. We expect something to happen in the fall. In related to NII, look, I think the movement in interest rates of that magnitude are not really, don't change dramatically our P&L. Frankly, what will drive the NII in the second half is going to be the growth of our loan book and also our ability to collect late payment interest and the recovery fees. And I think one item which gets overlooked a little bit in our presentation at times is actually how big and how much it grows our off-balance sheet reserve. And if you look where we are today compared to last year, that off-balance sheet reserve has increased by 93 million to 561. Now, 93 million, if you want, a portion of it, what will come from 65% to our average collection rate, which is just shy in the long term of 80%. So let's take a third of that that amount, slightly more, is actually, if you want, normalized earnings that we have, we're simply deferring. And so when you look at our results, you need to take into account that actually we're still deferring a lot of income and continue to accumulate profit reserve that will show up in our accounts going forward. And our ability, where we collect the past due, is also to negotiate a transaction with our debtors where we collect those LPIs and 40 euros and also when it's allowed interest on interest like in Italy.
Thank you.
The next question is from Antonio Reale of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. It's Antonio from Bank of America. Apologies if you've answered this question already. I've been in between calls, and so I missed the first part of your presentation. My question is really around the past due and the contagion invoices, which are down again, I think, by some 41 million or so in the first half. And the progression has been quite good on the organic side. And so my question, I know you've been open to both organic as well as inorganic initiatives for the bank. So what would be the pros and cons of you to explore a disposal of a securitization of a big chunk of your contagion invoices? Just because looking at it from the outside, and I'm conscious that we don't have the full details, but it looks extremely appealing as a way to really put to bed this issue. So any thoughts you can share around just the sort of the qualitative pros and cons of pursuing this option would be super helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonio. Look, the when we look at our contagion portfolio,
we have, at the end of the day, a number of levers where we can collect organically, and clearly selling that portfolio, even in a securitization where we will probably sell the junior notes to achieve the consolidation, therefore have a pretty strong capital impact, as you point out, still leave some money on the table. And also we want to be in a position where our collection processes are fine-tuned so that a purchaser of that portfolio will clearly be even more comfortable about those invoices being collected in due course. We clearly interest as well. And so we are working on that. We're working also on preparing for a potential disposal, which also means thinking what portfolio we might want to dispose of, because of that contagion portfolio, a portion has a high multiplier, if you want. So if we sell that, we actually get rid of a proportionally larger share of the infected portfolio, so to speak. There are other portions of that portfolio where that effect is not as strong. So probably doesn't make as much sense to sell. So is that consideration? The business continues to generate a lot of capital. And we think at the moment we don't really need to put pressure on that. At the same time, we don't want to be in a position where we need to take provision that portfolio, so we want to be ready ahead of that to potentially dispose of those assets. I think if you look at page 13, we take a lot of comfort by the fact that this is a very dynamic portfolio.
And the fact that we have reduced in 6 months 40% of what we had at year-end, which, by the way, a portion of it, of which was after that we purchased after the reclassification. So if we were to look at actually the previous portfolio, would be gone down even further, gives a sense of how dynamic the portfolio is. And we think we have, with the acceleration legal activity that Giuseppe mentioned before, quite a lot of levers to deliver a reduction in the overall portfolio. But we keep the option of also selling or securitizing, which is probably the most likely outcome, that portfolio is one of our tools, and also all the support from a regulatory point of view that makes securitization SRTs easier. It's also welcome because it means actually we can execute on a shorter time frame than it was normally expected in the past.
Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you have a question, please press star and one. Again, if you have a question, please press star and one. The next question is a follow-up of Simonetta Chiriotti of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So a question on LPI over recovery and the impact of rescheduling. So the negative impact improved, so it's lower in the second quarter, but remains negative and relatively high. Do you expect an improvement on these metrics?
Well, we've seen already an improvement.
Yeah.
By definition, as you said, the second quarter is better than the first. Let's also remember that the rescheduling is what we account at the moment of rescheduling, which means that actually that yield that then translates into interest income in the following period. Now, mm-hmm. we certainly aim to improve substantially our LPI over recovery. That's not where we should be by any mean. I think the team has a decent pipeline, and overall, our level of over recoveries in terms of recovery rate has been exactly in line with what we expected and what we've seen historically. So, yes, we expect to do more. Yes, we expect to do more in the second half of the year, and we're aiming to get a pretty good result at Q4. Now, that depends on not only on us, but the fact that we have moved from ordinary legal action to injunction should accelerate those results because we have counterparties that will have less time to actually wait before they have to pay.
Thank you.
This concludes our.
So, in a sense, to add to it, Simonetta, it's a bit what I said before on the increase on the off-balance sheet fund. So the fact that we actually had a low net over recovery, but we increased our off-balance sheet fund by 93 million, of which a portion of 15 over 35, it's actually 40%. Is what would be our standard over recovery, means actually we have created that value that we don't see in that accounts yet, but will be actually recovered over time. And that's something which is helpful to focus on, particularly because now in the comparison year on year, you see the same level of LPI recognition. And so that's an important data point, which I think gets overlooked, as I mentioned before.
Thank you.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Massimiliano Belingheri and Giuseppe Sica for any closing remarks.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us today, later in the day, and I'm sure later also in your plans for holidays. We wish you a good break for the ones of you who are having one, and sure we'll have plenty of opportunity to speak with you and meet you in other investor meetings and calls over the next few months ahead of our Q3 results. Thank you very much.